everybody, and welcome to episode 138 of the Ron and Brian podcast. I am Ron, as always, joined by the 1988 All Valley Karate Champion, Brian. Brian, how the heck are you this week, my friend?
Ron, I'm doing great. Oh, hold on a second. Look at this amazing thing I've got. I feel safe. I feel protected.
It's important to wear a mask, and you have one of our very limited edition Ron and Brian podcast masks. Of course, we're going to push some merch on you. Normally, we push the Patreon, which we will, of course, by telling you, if you want to subscribe, go to ronandbrianpodcast.com, upper right-hand corner. You can click Become a Patron, and that will also, on top of swag and some other gifts, you can also join us for the Great After Dark episode, which we record right after this one. But if you follow us on social media, you know we've got some brand new merch. There it is, the brand new Ron and Brian baseball cap. It is available at our web store at ronandbrianpodcast.com, and we are giving you a very special offer. We are giving you free shipping on items purchased from our web store now through this Saturday, January 16th. So load up on the swag. Make yourself a happy person. Brian, how the hell are you, sir? Tell me.
I'm doing great. This has been a historic week. Crimes occurred. People have been arrested. And, you know, it's the New York City subway system is safer as a result of the hard work of the NYPD this past week. I feel safer as I walk the streets.
All right. And as we mentioned last week, I am on the road this week out in Pennsylvania. Shout out to my coworkers down in the lobby bar while I'm working hard here on the podcast. So if you see a little different view here, this is exactly why there is. I don't know why they're calling my room now, but just to kind of mess with me, I'm sure.
Can you go get it? Can you answer it?
Hold on, I can get that.
Oh, this is great. This is absolutely great because it makes me feel so...
They're just laughing at me right now.
Do they not take this seriously? Do they not understand how fortunate they are to have been able to just allow the very presence of Ron into their lives?
Listen, it's a treat that that many wish for, few get to obtain. But let's keep things rolling here. Let's get it going with a little drink of the week.
Drink of the week.
Na zdrowie.
Salud.
Drink of the week.
Pleasure.
Pause.
Drink of the week.
Brian, you're double fisting it this week, I believe. What are you bringing to the table for your drink of the week?
Well, first we're going to start off with the beer. We're looking at right here a lovely IPA. This is Little Blind's Poly Sun IPA. It's brewed with Heidelberg malt and generously dry hopped with both Mosaic and Sabro.
Fancy. How is it? Is that a new beer for you? This is the first time.
It's the first time I'm losing, popping my cherry on this lovely beverage. It's okay. It is. It's everything about IPAs that I do not like.
Which is?
It just tastes like all hop. There's not enough like flavor. I mean, you know, the Mosaic is drowned out by the Sabro. They're conflicting profiles. Well, I'm going to drink it. Don't get me wrong. And then you may notice as the show goes on, coming out of my Ron and Brian lovely shot glass, I've got Bullet Bourbon. Oof. That I will be slowly putting out. So if I start to slur my words about 45 minutes into the show, you'll know why.
Everybody will know what's going on. Well, this week I grabbed also doing an IPA from our good friends at Deschutes in Bend, Oregon. This is their fresh squeezed IPA, clocking in at a reasonable 6% alcohol.
What I don't understand, Ron, is why do you hate Pennsylvania brewers? It's every week, in and out, all the time, consistently. You are always looking for brewers outside the great Keystone State.
Whatever. I was not able to travel with some Broken Goblet this week, so not bad. I think you might even prefer this IPA to the IPA you're currently drinking. But
what is, walk me through the flavors. What are you experiencing right now?
Yeah, it's crisp. It's citrusy, not very hoppy. Everything that you like in an IPA.
Please, after the show, let me just text me what you're drinking, and I will hunt it down to the ends of the earth.
Or at least your local bodega.
Okay. Well said. Right. Well said.
In the meantime, it's time for this week in racism.
Week
in
racism.
All right, Brian, just a few stories this week, but don't worry, they're all fairly horrible. This is one right there in New York, Brian, where you are. The New York Racing Association has banned trainer Eric Guillot for a racist name he gave one of his horses. This is actually the second time in a while that we've had a horse named racism. The other one was over in the UK. This one is in New York. The name targeted Ken Rudolph, the only black analyst at Horse Racing Network TVG. Guillot claimed on social media that he named a horse Grape Soda in honor of Rudolph. After the horse came in first in Aqueduct last week, Rudolph took to social media to call out the racism in the racing industry, which resulted in the Racing Association's action. I mean, fairly blatant.
Yeah, that's pretty bad. There's no excuse for that. None. Okay.
At first, I was like, all right, how can you make the correlation? But the trainer literally said on social media that I named this horse Grape Soda after this analyst.
Like, let me ask you a question. What was the last time you had Grape Soda?
A couple months. I'm a fan of Grape Soda. Tropicana Grape Soda, good stuff. What else? So who else? Crush makes a good grape soda. What about yourself? When was the last time you had a grape soda?
Maybe 4 or 5 years ago. It's just not something that I would grab at my local bodega, as you like to speak ill of my shopping options.
Fair enough. Let's see. Attendees at last week's annual meeting of the Society for Historical Archaeology were shocked by a public online altercation that included a past president of the organization using a Nazi salute and phrase during the conference's opening session. Robert Schuyler, an archaeologist at University of Pennsylvania, had interrupted the session speaker, and when she corrected him, he responded by thrusting his hand in the air and saying, "Sig Hail to you."
Hey.
Contacted by the UPenn student newspaper, Schuyler admitted to the behavior, but said he regretted his choice of words and, of course, does not support Nazism. He also does not think he should be disciplined, but instead, quote, yelled at.
Oh, absolutely understandable.
That'll learn him. The Phoenix Police Department, going out to Phoenix, Arizona. The Phoenix Police Department is investigating after a virtual funeral for civil rights icon and city leader Calvin Coolidge Good was interrupted on Tuesday by hackers yelling racist slurs. About a half hour into the service, a voice was heard yelling racial slurs over the funeral speaker. The church hosting the stream on Facebook shut it down and reopened it in a new stream. However, no suspects have emerged as of yet. And our final story this week, again, in your neck of the woods, Bayonne, New Jersey.
Oh, hold on. Time out. You are not going to dump Bayonne, New Jersey onto me. That is not okay. Bayonne, New Jersey is closer to Philly culturally than it is to New York.
Fair enough. Well, anyway, in Bayonne, 60-year-old Claudia Emmanuel has been charged with harassment after verbally assaulting a black neighbor. Emmanuel had been yelling at her mail carrier for the mail being late when her neighbor, Tamika Bordeaux, intervened. Emmanuel then followed Bordeaux for a few blocks, yelling the N-word at her. Bordeaux filmed the encounter, posted on Instagram, where it ended up going a bit viral. Let's see if we can get this video to play here.
Ooh, I love a good video.
This nigga bitch ran after me for no reason at all. I came out of my apartment. I talked to the mailman, and I just wanted to know where my mail was. But she had to be an intrusion. She's not minding her business. and she's a procrastinator and instigator, you nasty fucking red-headed bitch. Black bitch.
All right.
You know who she sounds like?
Who's that?
Tony Soprano's mother.
Well, anyway. Emmanuel has been arrested, and again, she was charged with harassment as well as bias intimidation.
Okay, question.
Yes.
Let me know. I'm trying to wrap my brain around what I just want. What does the fact that the woman who is doing the filming, what is calling her a procrastinator, I don't really see as a terrible observation to make about a stranger.
Maybe she feels procrastinator is a different word than it actually is, or maybe it's just because it rhymes with instigator. Maybe she was channeling a little Muhammad Ali right there and decided to do a little rhyme in her words. I don't know. It's very difficult to say.
Okay. But where was the real racism?
Well, her dropping the N-word would be the race.
Oh, I miss the N-word.
Well, then you need to pay closer attention. Yeah, she totally dropped the N-word at the beginning and then referring to, you know, her nappy hair and wig at the end.
I heard the wig, but okay. I honestly, it was the accent that just completely absorbed my attention in the beginning.
It is a very New Jersey accent she had going there.
In her defense, and I'm not trying to side with the racist here. However, in her defense, when you live in an apartment situation, having your mail delivered is a very stressful activity. The mailboxes are right next to each other. Usually they're in columns and rows. So sometimes you have to wait for somebody else to get their mail before you could. Like, you live in a house, so your mail comes and there's no competition. You don't have to worry about getting somebody else's mail or your mail accidentally or a package being taken. That's not a concern that you experience. But I, as somebody with the COVID antibodies flowing through my skin,
yes,
call back, bitches. as somebody who does live in an apartment situation, having somebody block you from being able to get to your mail, it could set off
I don't know if it was a situation of her being blocked to get to her mail. She was literally, this woman was yelling at her mail carrier because her mail was late, and Tamiko was just walking down the sidewalk and apparently instigated and procrastinated.
I thought she was procrastinating.
The guy injected herself, and that clearly was where some of the anger was derived from.
Listen, you know, the U.S. Postal Service has had, you know, ups and downs this year.
In a hell of a year.
You know, they were getting shellacked by the Trump administration. They pulled through somehow finding 11 million ballots that suddenly got dumped in Michigan at the last minute. Then they were heralded, a week after Election Day as, saving democracy. And now we see that in Bayonne, New Jersey, it's not even okay for you to just wait and tell your mail carrier that he's running a little late.
Listen,
what has this world gone?
It's hard work fixing a national election.
Pretty much.
Gotta give him credit for that. All right. Well, you know what time it is, Brian. Time to talk about our beefs.
Ron and Brian's Beef of the Week.
Brian, what's bothering you this week?
Robocalls. The incessant, unending, out of control robocalls that my cell phone has been receiving for the past month from phone numbers all across America, advising me that my vehicle's insurance and or warranty is about to expire, and that what I should do is call a toll-free number to speak to a representative.
So are you saying you're not worried about your warranty running out?
Ron, I don't own a car. There's no vehicle. There is no legitimate vehicle in my past, my present, or my future. I would say that I've got just today alone probably about a dozen calls.
Now, is your phone
Albuquerque, Illinois, like all over the place?
Do you block the numbers? Do you take that
each time? Time I block it, and it comes in from a different number.
All right.
And the fact that we as a country, and don't get me wrong, I mean, there's a couple things that are going on that are probably slightly more important in terms of the country's attention, other than robocalls interfering with my ability to swipe on my Twitter app up and down. But Jesus Christ, it's enough. I've had enough with it. That is my beef of the week. That is more upsetting to me than the order of spices that I made online, and I only received garlic and paprika. I did not get my onion powder. It's more upsetting to me than anything else.
The callback. That's a callback to an old beef of mine, but that's fine. But just to throw up a comment from Billy here, he got a comment from Joel Osteen talking about how good a Google business account would be for him. That is a very random combination of wouldn't think you would get a robocall about. Like, if you're getting a robocall from Joel Osteen, you'd be like,
Jesus. Yeah.
Maybe Google has hired Joel Osteen to bring members of his flock into the Google My Business family.
Maybe not. Maybe right. not.
But the question, the bigger question is Billy, did you open that Google business account? Because it's always good to promote your business.
Yeah. I mean, does he want to come on and promote it? I mean, like, we are actively looking for sponsors.
Always looking for sponsors. Our collab rates are very affordable, I think.
Yes.
We can definitely make some sort of partnership there. Yeah, I get those. I get the car insurance extended warranty calls a lot. And I've even started to get the your social security numbers compromised message and whatnot, but I just block them.
If it was a real human being, I would have fun with it. But this right. is just it's the same automated message that kicks in saying, we're reaching out to you because the vehicle warranty is about to expire. And I'm like, no, and there's nobody I can yell at.
Yeah. So my beef this week is heavy breathers during Zoom calls. And I'm not talking about people that are just there like they're not on like a respirator or CPAP machine or anything. But I was on a certain Zoom call and the individual running the Zoom call had this, I don't know if you would call it a quirk or proclivity, where, you know, you would talk and then there'd be a pause and then they'd be like, okay, so our next part is, finish a topic and be like, so let's see if you can duplicate this in your environment. Okay, so we're going to move on to the next topic.
So, Ron, as I was saying, it's disgusting. Can I just ask, what was the nature of the Zoom call?
It was a training call. So, you had to be there, and there was interaction, but it was always just...
So this was the trainer?
Yes. One of the trainers. Not all of the trainers, but one of the trainers.
Now, is this one of those environments where it's the train the trainers, or is this where you are just going to send waves of trainers to this person?
This was just a very specific training class.
Okay.
If that is enough information for you.
I believe that we have been in this pandemic long enough that we should have figured out all of the quirks of teleconferencing at this point.
You would think no one should be accidentally on mute anymore.
Nope.
Everyone should know how to connect to their calls.
Nobody should be using headphones that have the mic on it that brushes up against their facial hair as they talk. So you just hear like the as they're trying to, no. Or the people that over-modulate into whatever shitty microphone they have on
proper modulation.
Shut up, sit down. No. That would literally distract me to such an extent I would not be listening to the trainer.
Yeah, it was almost a point of insanity. However, can I, my friend, congratulate you on yet again another perfect weekend of NFL picks, playoff edition, going 2-0. Brian, I will let you do a recap of this past weekend's score.
All right. This past week was week 18 of the 2020-21 NFL season. This is what we in the biz call the wild card round, ladies and gentlemen. Ron, I would like to sit there and take credit, but first I'm going to pat you on the back. You went 2-0, which was impressive considering the tight caliber of games that you picked. I felt mine were somewhat obvious. You picked ones that I thought were almost a coin flip, but you saw the diamond in the rough. Bills laying 6.5 against the Colts. You sat there and said, listen, I've been to Buffalo. I've eaten their wings, but they're not good enough to cover a 6.5-point spread. Bills winning the game, but only by 3, 27-24. Your next pick, Seahawks laying 3.5 against the Rams. Rams not only covering the spread, winning the whole game by 30-20. Ron, again, 2-0, 18th week in a row. People, if you are not taking our locks of the week and betting in Vegas, you have left money on the table. Myself, I saw the Bucks going up against the Washington football team, and I sat there and said, Brady is going to crush a team that doesn't even figure out how to have a nickname in 2020. Bucks losing, go figure, 31-23. However, the Browns going against the Steelers, Steelers with that 11-5 record, Browns, they haven't won a playoff game since, I think, Harry Truman was president. Browns winning 48-37. We're winning 28-0 before the first quarter ended. I was patting myself on the back early on, and I made sure that I only patted myself on the back and no other body part because this is a family show, and I'm not looking to get fired.
And listen, you're being very humble. You had called me before the Cleveland game, and you said, you know what, Ron? Screw it. I'm taking Cleveland straight up. Forget getting 6 points. I'm putting a large chunk down. And listen, it was a ballsy move, and it paid off. Good question from Billy. Billy chipping in strong here early this episode, asking if leaving money on the table, is it worse than leaving $900 at a strip club?
By far. If you're spending $900 in a strip club, that means that you are getting 45 dances.
Right.
Think about it. You're getting something for your money. Now, you may wake up the next morning and try and understand how you took $1,000 out of a ATM machine in a strip club and all you are staring at are 520s. That's not a good feeling. However, when we are sitting there saying, here are our locks of the week, we have gone 2-0 for 17 weeks in a row. To sit there and not take our picks and put some of your money down on it. Keep in mind, people, $600 stimulus checks have been direct deposited into your bank accounts. It literally is the federal government saying to you, we want you to make more money. And this was the thing. A lot of people, did not realize with Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell, was when people pressed him in the media to, why is it that you are not offering the $2,000 stimulus checks, but you're only approving a $600 stimulus check to Americans? Mitch McConnell said, listen, every week, Ron and Brian podcast put four football teams up as their locks of the week. They have not lost once this season. If anybody cares about their $2,000, take the $600 that we're giving them. Parlay, I don't know what a parlay is. Parlay those four teams into back and forth, up and down, which you normally have to pay extra for, Cotton. However, you take that with those four picks, $2,400 is what you'd have right now in your pocket. So this way you could cover your vehicle's warranty and or insurance that's set to expire.
Well, Brian, when people have that sweet, sweet stimmy money burning a hole in their pocket, What are your picks this upcoming weekend for the NFL?
Ooh, okay. This week, I like two games, and I like them a lot.
All right.
Bills struggled against the Colts. This week, they're going up against a team that's even stronger. Ravens, who I actually thought were going to be favored going into Buffalo. The Ravens are getting 2.5. I say take those points. Then, I did watch the Browns destroy the Pittsburgh Steelers, but I knew the Pittsburgh Steelers. I've watched the Pittsburgh Steelers, and the Kansas City Chiefs are not the Pittsburgh Steelers. Chiefs, minus 10, lay the points. Ron, what about you?
All right. Well, you've got the LA Rams going into the frozen tundra of Lambeau Field. Green Bay is favored by 6.5. Aaron Rodgers having an MVP season, getting close to the end of his career. You have to figure he wants to run deep into the playoffs this year. I like Green
playoffs.
Bay. Minus
playoffs.
And then on the flip side, you've got a classic matchup of two future Hall of Fame quarterbacks. You've got New Orleans, Tampa Bay coming in. New Orleans embarrassed Tampa Bay earlier in the season. I think Tampa Bay returns the favor. Tampa Bay plus 3 at New Orleans. Take it, put it in the bank.
Let's do it. Ron?
Yes, sir.
As I know this is the second week of the calendar year, but one thing that we have a tradition of doing, and I think we've been doing this for 18 straight years. This will be 18th.
Yes.
Every year we start the podcast, you know, by making our predictions for the upcoming year. We did not do that last week as there was a lot of stuff going on in the news that we felt kind of took priority.
A lot of buzz last week.
Our democracy had been attacked. There had been an attempted coup by the Al-Qaeda's.
The gravy seals.
I got nothing. There's a list of like a dozen of them, and I got like, where's your like anti-Tifa, anti, where's your Tifa? I'm drawing a blank. I fucked it up. I apologize to anybody who is right now screaming at their television or computer monitor, their electronic device, their. So anyway, Ron.
Of course, we must review our predictions from last year.
Yes.
See how many we got right, how many we got wrong. Brian, are you ready to tee up your predictions from 2020?
I'll go. I'll announce one of my 2020 and how it did, and then you wanted to pick one, and we'll go back and forth.
So one and one, yeah.
All right. My first prediction last year, Joe Biden wins the Democratic nomination. You're welcome, people.
Correct answer. Let's see here. My first prediction last year, after losing in the AFC Championship game, Tom Brady will retire to spend more time making out with his son. Obviously incorrect. Back in the playoffs, as we just said, and I'm putting money on him. So
there you are.
Did not come to fruition.
All right. My second prediction was Donald Trump will be reelected president.
Thankfully, that one you missed out on. And we're okay with that.
I was wrong on that.
We are okay with that. Let's see here. Not only will the GOP vote to acquit Trump in the Senate impeachment trial, they will vote him Miss Congeniality. I'm giving myself a correct answer on that one.
You know what? I think you got that one.
Yeah.
I said the New York Yankees will win the World Series. No.
I said the New York Yankees will win the 2020 World Series.
Double loss on that one. Here's one that's going to hurt real bad, not just from a self-esteem perspective, but also financially. I said the stock market will end the year lower. And if we all know or have been following our 401ks or our stock portfolios, the stock market had a record year, closed at all-time highs. NASDAQ was over about 40% up. S&P 500 was about 35% up. And I think the Dow, which is pretty much old economy, was up somewhere around 28-29%. So I was definitely wrong on that.
Very wrong on that. Let's see. What else did I say here? Oh, continuing his string of frat boy jokes, Elon Musk will announce that the Tesla Cybertruck will have the equivalent of 420 horsepower and a 69-inch drivetrain. I know he thought it. He just never came out and said it.
All right. I said that 2019 will be declared the hottest year on record.
Unfortunately, we got even hotter in 2020.
Yeah, but this was a prediction made in 2019. I believe I got that right.
You made it for 2020, though.
Okay, but the announcement would have been calculated in 2020. Sorry. In 2021,
Sorry, I hate to have my voice at you. I said Papa John will be hospitalized after eating 400 pizzas in 30 days. He will survive, but sweat garlic sauce for the rest of his life. Fortunately, that.
Oh God! Remember Papa John announcing he was going to eat all the pizzas?
Remember he ate 40 pizzas in 30 days?
And well, he didn't eat all the pizzas.
Craziest part of 2020.
He sampled 40 pizzas. Let's be honest. I predicted that I was going to get married again.
Surprisingly, wrong answer.
Nope.
We all were rooting for you.
Nobody put a finger on this ring.
Let's see. The Ukraine will open an investigation on the Biden campaign when it is discovered that the No Malarkey Express actually contains 22% malarkey. I felt good about that one. Did not come through.
I said that the Ron and Brian podcast will not be invited back to the Philadelphia Podcast Festival.
You were actually correct, but more so because they did not have the podcast festival thanks to COVID. I mean, a technicality, but you were still correct.
It still counts.
Let's see here. Brian will open up about his perineum pain fetish, ironically, in an interview on the Joe Rogan podcast. That actually happened. A lot of people missed it after he went to Spotify. But yeah, it was very brave for you to open up like that.
I said that Joaquin Phoenix will win the Oscar for Best Actor and Joker.
Did he?
Yeah.
All right. I gotta keep track of that kind of stuff more. But clearly, that was your pick. So
I did all the research. I checked my answers. All
right, good. Martin Scorsese and Netflix will release The Irishman Part 2, which will just be 6 hours of De Niro, Pacino, Pesci, Leota, Jimmy Caan, Robert Duvall, and Chaz Palminteri arguing over who gets to eat the last cannoli. Unfortunately, didn't come out. I was disappointed. I was looking forward to that one. All right, Brian, you got?
I said that there will be a significant terrorist attack on a U.S. embassy overseas, qualified by saying, I hope it doesn't happen, but we are long overdue. That was incorrect.
All right, let's see. Mike Bloomberg will be elected president after promising to give every voter $20,000 and a free year of Disney Plus. That would have won it for him, though. That really,
I believe it would have. He, you know what? I think Bloomberg had a shot. He came in too late and he just bombed during the debate.
Well, Liz Warren just eviscerated him in that one debate. And I think that hurt. What was your final prediction for 2020?
I said that you will divorce your wife and embrace the furry lifestyle. That did not happen in 2020.
I apologize. You were wrong again on that one. My final prediction for 2020 was Ron and Brian will continue to deliver amazing content every week, both for free and for subscribers at our Patreon. Hell yes.
That's the most important one, my friend.
Well, now that we have 2020 in the bag, it is time for us to now look into our crystal ball, determine what we feel is ahead of us for 2021. So let's see how that goes. Brian, give me your first prediction for 2021.
The stock market will end the year higher.
you're reversing course from last year. Smart.
I had a bad year last year, so I'm trying to make up for it. So fingers crossed, market goes up.
Understood. Let's see. My first prediction is after finishing his term as vice president, Mike Pence will start a new career as a drag queen under the name Mother Bones.
Hmm.
We'll see.
I like that.
That's not our question.
I've got that Joe Biden will have a significant health scare, but will not resign.
All right. Brian will file for bankruptcy after buying everything in the Fleshlight catalog.
That's going to be awkward. I had that I will marry my fleshlight in a ceremony held during After Dark.
Wow. That's coincidental. Let's see. The New York Yankees will win the 2021 World Series.
Really? I have that the Federal Trade Commission will start proceedings to break up Amazon.
Predictions.
Let's see. What else do we have here? Joe Biden will attempt to postpone his virtual inauguration when he is unable to remember his AOL password.
God damn it. That's a good one. We will end the year with more than 20 Patreon subscribers.
Oh, I like that number. Let's see here. Oh, here's a good one. With the successful rollout of the COVID-19 vaccines, the far right will hold a national conference to determine other ways they can be inconsiderate to their fellow Americans while causing mass fatalities.
I like that one.
You like
I like that one. That's actually very good. I have the Seattle Storm will repeat as WNBA champions.
All seeing, all knowing.
All right. Jeff Bezos and Elon Musk will battle for the title of richest person on the planet, but they will do so by having their underpaid, underinsured workers battle to the death.
Oh, wow. This is odd because my one is Elon Musk ends the year as the world's wealthiest man.
Oh, well, I mean, it's very possible we could both hit on that one.
We'll take it.
Into our crystal balls.
All right. Oh, this one I think will definitely hit. Billy will continue to roast Ron and Brian on a weekly basis.
Yeah. That was a kind of a gimme.
Yeah.
I have that the U.S. will rejoin the Paris Climate Accord.
I mean, I think that's a good bet. Let's see here. Brian will continue to not watch Brockmire or Kingdom. I feel I'm going to nail that one.
Ah, I know. Right now, Janelle's blood just started to boil. God damn, that just made me laugh. Oh, that's good. I'm sorry, Janelle. God damn it. I am a piece of garbage. I've got that Adama Barrow will win re-election in the 2021 Gambian presidential election. Little known fact here, Ron, that instead of using paper ballots, elections in Gambia are conducted using marbles. Each voter receives a marble and places it in a tube on top of Richard Gere's rectum. Just kidding. A tube on top of a sealed drum that corresponds to that voter's favored candidate. The drums for the different candidates are painted in different colors corresponding to their party affiliation, and a picture of the candidate is affixed to the corresponding drum. The system has advantages of a low cost and simplicity, both for understanding how to vote and for counting the results. The method is reported to have an extremely low error rate for miscast ballots. So apparently Gambia has a better election system than the United States.
All right.
Boom!
Very nice. Let's see here. Ron, myself, will remain employed the entire year, forcing Brian to think of new ways to insult him.
Ron and Brian, medium to predictions, extra large in the pants.
All right. Brian, your 10th and final prediction for the year 2021.
Ron will divorce his wife and embrace the furry lifestyle.
You're riding on that one.
One of these years, Ron, I will be right.
Fair enough.
And I'll be honest with you. As much as I've been asking for a throuple, as soon as you divorce your wife, I am sweeping in because I want episode 193 for there to be a whiteboard up against this wall right back here with her handwriting.
Fair enough. Let's see. My final prediction. Millions of Americans will discover that true happiness only comes from joining the Ron and Brian Patreon to get access to the weekly After Dark episodes.
Oh, yeah, baby. It's all about the Ron and Brian Patreon. Ron, run that banner if you can. We're done with predictions.
The Patreon, you're saying. Run the Patreon banner. Run that.
I feel like we have first-time viewers here. I feel there are people who are watching this podcast for the very first time and are sitting there saying, here, take my money. How can I support you? How can I make what you are doing even better? And the link is right there below. Become a Patreon. Join, go to RonandBrianPodcast.com. Click the link in the upper right-hand corner. We'll take you to our Patreon page. Every week, right after this show, 9:30 Eastern Time, we do what we call After Dark. And Ron, what do we do in After Dark?
It gets a little saucy. We cover some of the stories that maybe are a little too taboo for free podcasting. Yes. We talk from the heart. We communicate. We connect with our subscribers in a way that I don't think you can do unless we're getting money shoved in our pockets.
And would you like to describe the beautiful thing that I call a pajama party?
And every the last Thursday of every month, we share our video link with you, the Patreon subscribers, and you get to come on and join us for that final episode of the month. Always a good time. Mostly.
Absolutely.
What else do we got here, Brian? Oh, I did want to jump back real quick. There was a comment I saw. And you and I talked about this earlier this week, Janelle asking if anyone had Dustin Diamond in their death pool. He apparently has stage 4 cancer, which I had seen that he had been rushed to the hospital the other day. And that was when I kind of reached out to you and let you know about it, that no one had picked Dustin Diamond in the death pool. So if that is the case, that he has stage 4 cancer, we'll see. I mean, if he hangs on for the next 11 months, I can definitely see people potentially put him in the 2022 pool.
Absolutely. But keep in mind, people were jumping on Jeff Bridges for his cancer diagnosis. But earlier today, it was reported on the on trustworthy internet news sites that his cancer, the tumors have shrunk, and doctors are starting to say that it is safe, that he may have a healthy prognosis.
Apparently, on top of the cancer, he's also got shingles. So that's when you know that maybe God dislikes you a bit.
Let me ask you a question. What is worse? What's worse, shingles or having bad lighting?
It's tough to say. Very tough to say.
Because every now and then, it's like the light gets brighter and you get darker.
I'm still not exactly sure because the light isn't moving. Only I'm moving. So I guess maybe there's a reflection issue. I don't know. Maybe if I tilt this a little bit here, we'll see if that helps.
What's what shirt are you wearing?
Oh, I'm wearing the Fraud Street Run t-shirt for memories of when you came down and we participated in the Fraud Street Run from Four Seasons Landscaping down to the Four Seasons Hotel in Philadelphia. Quality merch. Not as good as the merch on RonandBrianPodcast.com. Pretty darn close.
Absolutely.
So what else do we have? Oh, more fallout from the...
Hold up. Before we do that, Ron, I had a question for you.
Okay.
What are you watching?
You want to talk about this? I would like to talk about this.
You specifically said to me this week on the podcast, I want to talk about a show I started, but I have now finished and I feel strongly about. So, what is that show, Ron? Talk to us.
I finished season 3 of Cobra Kai on Netflix. I know you had previously finished season 3 of Cobra Kai, and I have very mixed emotions about season 3 of Cobra Kai.
Stop. Hold on a second. Yes. You have mixed emotions?
I have mixed emotions about it.
Now, that implies that you feel one way, but also the other, correct?
That would be the definition of mixed emotions, yes.
So is it safe for me to assume that you are not walking away thinking that season 3 of Cobra Kai was a gigantic steaming bag of shit?
I don't believe that, but I feel maybe you think that.
All right, let's talk about it, Ron. Walk me through your Cobra Kai season 3.
Well, and again, we'll say spoiler alert, but it's been out for 2 weeks now, so if you haven't watched the entire season,
save your time. Read, invest in yourself, research, get the vaccine. Don't watch Cobra Kai.
Like, I, you know, again, it was very cheesy. It was very overdone, kind of like the first two seasons, which is what I liked about it. You know, there was some callbacks to the Karate Kid movies. We saw, you know, some of the characters. Daniel LaRusso goes back to Okinawa, so we see. Was that Karate Kid 3?
Stop. That was Karate Kid 2, wasn't it?
Two is
when he goes. If you don't call him Danielson, and you're going to call him Daniel LaRusso, I literally will just disconnect from this podcast right now. He is Danielson.
So Danielson goes Danielson. Back to. Yeah. To Okinawa and sees the characters from Karate Kid 2, Chosen, and those, and you know, again, it's very interesting to see the characters again. Elizabeth Shue shows up reprising the role as Allie.
It's a shitty role. It's a shitty role.
They gave her nothing. It kind of sucked that they did it right at the end of the season. But then, like, they throw in like Dee Snider for just a very random appearance.
Terrible.
Middle of it. But again,
wait a second. So you're telling me that the power of rock and roll made this quadriplegic suddenly be able to start tapping his feet, and then in a 2.5 minute montage, go from literally being unable to stand on his feet, this kid's doing fucking karate again?
So which again, I think brings me to one of my problems with the season. So again, you're used to it being over the top, but it really is just it's just pushing the bounds of reality. Like, yeah, the main kid there, you know, breaks his spine. And
question, let me ask you a question. Yeah. Do you know that kid's name?
Is it Miguel?
I don't know. Right. That is a pure example of how small my level of interest is in that show, is that I couldn't even tell you that kid's name.
So anyway, he's in a coma, and then he has this miracle surgery, and still can't feel. But within a matter of weeks, is walking again, and then eventually able to actually, you know.
He's fighting. He's fucking fighting another kid who's perfectly physically capable, and Miguel is kicking ass.
Right. So, I mean, either people in wheelchairs are just not motivated enough, or this is just not realistic. Like, I would say literally, like, less
did
than
you just months. Did you just, like, wheelchair shame people with disabilities? Because that's what I just heard.
Also, I mean, and again, just looking at, like, all right, so end of season two, you have this all-out karate brawl in the high school.
Yes.
One person goes to juvie, and Tori, the one girl, she gets suspended. No one else gets kicked out of school. They're all just able to go back.
Everybody goes right back.
And then you've got just literal fights taking place in abandoned buildings, in Daniel-san's own home. Like, no one goes to jail for, like, assault. Like, a kid broke another kid's arm. Like, no one's going to go to jail for that.
You know why? Because they're not snitches. They're not rats. You know, there's a code of the streets. And you know what that is? What happens on the streets stays in the streets, and no authorities get involved.
But,
what about, hold on a second, what about Kreese?
This is my next point. John Kreese straight up literally murdered a guy. He committed a war crime. He straight up murdered somebody.
Yes.
Like,
yes.
It's not like, all right, so.
No, but not only that, but he murdered like his supervisor in the military.
Right, his officer. Right.
So okay, you actually used the proper terminology. I just kind of rounded off.
Right.
In a very poor man's fashion. But yes. So,
you know, the story was that, you know, they're in Vietnam. They get captured and they have to fight over a pit of snakes, which, okay, I did not get.
How do you build a pit of snakes?
I did not get a chance to go through my history books to see if that was based on factual information. But okay, so the soldiers had to fight to the death. So, all right, the soldiers that fought earlier that had to kill their other soldiers, you know, you understand they were forced to do so. But literally, Kreese is fighting his commanding officer. And at that exact moment, the U.S.
Air support is just blowing up the village, but they're all safe. Right. All the Vietnamese are dying of being blown up, right. But somehow where the American soldiers were, not even a hair was singed from the firebombing.
Precise bombing. But then Kreese just literally is his commanding officer is hanging off the bridge. Kreese steps on his foot, lets him fall into the snake pit and die. So we've seen, we've seen different character arcs. We've seen, Johnny Lawrence has obviously had some redemption. We've seen his backstory and why he was the way he was in the movies. We've seen that Daniel-san is kind of a dick. We assume right. in the movies, we've seen that now that he is kind of a dick. Hawk had his own little, redemptive arch where he was a good kid, then became a bad kid, and then became a good kid at the end. I don't.
Which one was Hawk? That was the kid with the mohawk?
Yeah, the mohawk.
No, he's just.
I don't know.
He became such a piece of shit. How do you see redeem himself in a way that we can get past?
Well, I will tell you one thing. He didn't straight up murder a guy.
All right, that's fair.
And that's where I don't get where that character is going. Like, again, whether you're going to, unless their goal is to just make him be the one arching overall villain of the entire show. And yeah, Billy brings up a point about.
No. Billy cannot. No, Billy under no circumstances is going to defend the shitty writing on this show. It's shitty writing, Billy. You deserve better. You are owed better as a human being on Earth during a pandemic. They owed you a better story.
Right. So
his girlfriend was dead.
Right. So the commanding officer found out that Kreese's girlfriend was dead, which, again, a very, very cheesy cop out of a plot point. And he doesn't let Kreese know until he's about to fight him over the big snake bridge. But again, I don't know that it necessarily justifies straight up murdering a guy.
No. Well, technically, he didn't really murder. He just pushed the guy into the snake pit. Like, he didn't actually kill him. Yeah,
I think the fall in the snakes basically took care of that business.
Now, I have a question. They showed two guys fighting right before they got called out there. Why was there no body in the pit?
I don't think that was right before. I felt like that was a period.
Remember, didn't they show the guy coming back talking about it right before they pulled the two?
No, there was a break in between that.
There was a break in that kid's arm after Hawk literally had him behind. It was like,
listen,
I was garbage. Oh, one other thing.
Yes. Sorry.
The cheesy need to bring back the villain in Karate Kid 2
right,
to be a comedic. What was his name?
Chosen with a Z.
I had that tattooed on my forehead when I came out with my first street album. It was a bad idea. I had to get that tattooed off. But the fact that he showed up and like the fact that Okinawa, first off, has really done incredible after the nuclear bombs that were dropped in it back in 1945. Okinawa has made an absolute comeback. It was a shit. It was a shit village during Karate Kid number 2, but now Okinawa, and maybe it is because of the radiation, has now absolutely embraced corporate America. There's Paneras, there's Johnny Cakes, there's Wendy's. What other references?
Can I bring up one more thing?
Want you to bring up. There was a. I actually want you to tell me what you liked about it. But first, bring up the point you want to make.
So again, going back to Daniel-san, I will use the term that you prefer. Like, he is made out to be like this great husband and family man and all that. But you had two instances this season where he saw his love interest back in Okinawa. And then the first time he saw Allie at the winter
the ice cream social,
and the look when he first saw both of them, I can use no other term than he was eye fucking them.
Oh yeah, but keep in mind his wife is a piece of shit. She publicly embarrasses him at every opportunity she can.
I mean,
we as a society just are okay with it.
Yeah. I think some of the story was fun. Again, I watching, Johnny, I like Johnny Lawrence as a character.
We know that you like him sexually. You've already told me that you have been downloading Cobra Kai fan erotic fiction.
Like he you've really, been like reading really a lot on the road. Really embodies like someone stuck in like that 80s mindset. Like just the naming the his karate dojo Eagle Fang Karate. I got a chuckle out of that because it was very much like an 80s thing, and the kids were like, "Eagles don't have fangs." Like it's just. I don't know. It made me laugh. So they're it's again. It's very cheesy. It's very makes you very reminiscent of the 80s, but just over the top at times. And again, I can't emphasize this enough. John Kreese killed the guy.
Can I emphasize one thing that was the biggest outrage of the entire series?
Yeah, I'd like to hear what that is.
Spoiler alert, people. That the season ends. On absolutely nothing. The season ends at like this junction where it's okay. Hey, let's have our three. What was two is now three. I like to call it a throuple.
It's really a throuple, I think.
It's a throuple?
Because it's couple, but it's three.
You're right. It is a throuple. But why does throuple sound so much better?
I would love to keep having you say throuple, though, because it sounds like it should be a breakfast cereal of some sort.
I'm such a fucking idiot that I will mispronounce words.
Have you had a bowl of your frosted throuples yet today? So,
maybe they have some throuples down in the breakfast, the continental breakfast.
All I know is check out insomnia cookies down there, which I'm missing out on at the moment.
Right. Send photos. But the biggest outrage is that the season three ends with the three dojos showing up in a park.
I'm not quite sure.
Season three ends with the three dojos all meeting up in a park, agreeing that, hey, let's, battle it out for supremacy at the next All Valley Karate Tournament. Yeah. There's no ending here. It's like this season has all been, hey, let's have a build up to season four.
Well, right. Exactly. And again, we're going to settle everything in a karate tournament like they did in so many of the Karate Kid movies. So I will be surprised if they've got enough gas to make it past season four. I think it's had a good run. I think it burns out.
Earth to run. This show burned out after season one. There's been absolutely nothing in the past two seasons. It's a total waste of your time, but you're going to watch it anyway.
I mean, what else am I going to watch? Kingdom?
Well, you could watch the C-SPAN, where this week we have watched President number 45 get impeached for the second time. No president has ever been impeached twice.
Listen, he said he would make America great again. And again, he did that by accomplishing something that no other president in the history of this country has been able to do. So,
you know what I think is incredible is that I went back and I watched the speech he gave at the rally last week.
Okay.
I genuinely believe that he had no idea what the ramifications were going to be by telling an angry crowd that we need to fight and take back our election and stop Congress from stealing the presidency. I don't believe that he thought to himself, what is it that I really think is going to happen?
Well, I guess I would agree with you to an extent, but I think what is more dangerous is I don't think he cared what his comments might have incited the crowd to do.
He doesn't. I don't think he operates that way. He thought, what will make great sound bites?
Right.
What will make these people smile and clap? Like, he is one of these. He needs an immediate satisfaction. He needs the immediate pleasure cycle of I say this and people reward me. That's how he operates. So if he feels that the people want to hear something, he's going to say it for them. Just so that he can get the applause, because that makes him feel validated. Clearly, this man's never been married to a woman.
it is entertaining to me to watch the actual shock of people that broke into the Capitol as the FBI very easily hunts them down since they posted videos and photo on various social media, getting arrested and being shocked that they are getting charged with the level of offenses that they are getting charged with.
I think that the level of offenses they're being charged with is like a first round charge.
Oh, yeah.
These are placeholder charges so that they can justify that there is a court case in the going on in the process against these people. They haven't even hit these people with the real charges yet.
Yeah.
Like right now, they've got them on having unauthorized access to a government building.
Right. I mean, they are finding that there are computers that held sensitive information that are missing from the Capitol. Obviously, there is a capital murder charge pending for those individuals responsible for the death of the police officer that day. The cop died.
They right. killed a police officer. That's something that I think has just been... It seems like it's almost been glossed over that these and keep in mind, I know there's a theory that it was Antifa that did this, but we're going to put that aside. We'll get to it. We're going to address it, maybe not this week, at a later time. But a police officer that was defending the building was literally beaten to death.
I mean, to put this in context, in the same way that John Kreese straight up murdered a guy, Trump supporters straight up murdered a Capitol police officer.
So are you saying that the Capitol siege is like Cobra Kai season 3?
More like season 2.
Okay. But nobody died in season 2. We had Miguel getting thrown off the... and what was up with Robbie? What was the whole fucking point of Robbie in season 3? Can you explain that to me?
I don't know.
It's like he's kind of not in jail, but then he goes to jail.
He was in juvie, but it was the toughest juvie in the country, apparently. But also, you can apparently just have, like, breakout fights in juvie. And, you know, I don't know. It doesn't remind me of time in juvie.
In the defense of that aspect of it, I would imagine that if you are a guard in juvie, I imagine you let the fights go just for sport.
Well, you probably put some money on it.
Speaking of money, go back, rewind, listen to our locks of the week, where we talk about the four. We guarantee four wins.
So let's do. Before we head on out of here, we do have.
Whoa! Look what Billy just put up there. Let's discuss.
So let's see here. Robbie is Luke Skywalker. Kreese is Palpatine. Johnny is Vader. I mean,
I don't think that's an original thought. I'm going to guess that Billy read that somewhere because I know that he has subscribed to multiple email blast chains from Cobra Kai fan groups.
I mean, I could see the correlations there.
I see it there too. I mean, let's face it, it is a standard hero's journey.
Listen, I think we all recall Return of the Jedi, I believe it was, when. They were on the forest moon of Endor, and Vader hopped into his sweet T-Bird and tore around the moon. I see it. I see the connections there.
Yes, and don't you remember Dee Snider was giving the concert to the Ewoks?
He was, but it was funny because he had the Stormtrooper helmet on, so all you could see was like the long, blonde, curly hair coming out the back. Craziness. Oh,
ew.
Anyway.
Ew.
Celebrity obituaries, Brian. We talked about the 2021 Deathpool on last week's show. And then the very next day, some people cashed in points. We talked about how Tommy Lasorda was one of the more mentioned name. And he passed away at the age of 93. So we had, five people, I think, five or six people. Collecting 7 points from that.
But more importantly, Ron, obviously points were put up on the board for our 2021 death pool. But more importantly, there were a lot of points that were left on the table.
Oh.
Listen, we know how important it is to not leave points on the table. 19 points. Siegfried Fischbacher, the namesake partner of the iconic entertainment duo Siegfried and Roy. Siegfried dies at the age of 81 from pancreatic cancer. Well, his longtime partner and on and off again, Tiger victim Roy Horn, he died last year from COVID-19 at the age of 75. This year, Siegfried, we lost at the age of 81. People, that was 19 points you could have easily scooped up. Not one person took them.
Not a lot of points here, but a sad obituary. Widow of TV icon Mr. Rogers, Joanne Rogers, passing away at the age of 92. So again, 8 points left on the board. When did Mr. Rogers pass away?
I would say a couple of years ago, right before that documentary on the sexual abuse allegations.
He passed away in 2003. I did not realize it had been that long.
He's been dead for 17 years?
He has been. He passed away in 2003 at the age of 74.
Do you know who's been dead for 17 hours?
Who's that, Brian?
Dr. Harold N. Bornstein. Passing away at the age of 73 last Friday, Dr. Bornstein was President Donald J. Trump's personal physician and attested earlier this year that Donald Trump is the healthiest individual ever elected to the presidency. There is already reports in the mainstream media that his office was raided by secrets. Just that guy's a piece of garbage. Look at that.
That's the picture that
he looks like the kind of guy that performs his own prostate exams. Doesn't he?
I mean, it's very possible.
Like he's just one of those like.
He looks like a guy that you're not surprised passed away. He doesn't look.
No. But apparently I saw on Drudge Report earlier today that there are already comments that his office was raided by Secret Service and files were removed from the office. We're imagining that those are Donald Trump's medical records for heaven forbid it comes out that apparently being 305 pounds and being a Adderall addicted alleged, diaper wearing alleged, human piece of shit. Proven,
yes.
That heaven forbid his medical records leak out.
And lastly, General Hospital vet John Riley passing away at the age of 86. I actually had to look up a photo on this one too. Has one of those faces when you see him, you're like, oh yeah, that guy.
Was great. He was great in Walk Hard.
Yeah,
and I also felt that he did a great job in Talladega Nights as Will Ferrell's straight man. You know, the scene when they are sitting there, it's Will Ferrell, it's John Riley.
You're thinking of a different John Riley.
What?
You're thinking of a different John Riley. This is, he actually added his initial to his SAG card to differentiate him. But he was in General Hospital and also in Dallas too. So in two of all-time classic soap operas in American TV history.
This guy wasn't in Talladega Nights?
He was not, no.
The guy that was in Step Brothers?
No. I think you might be a little bit confused.
I don't know who he is then. Never seen it before. Sorry.
All right. Anything else this week? I mean, apart from, you know, COVID continuing to ravage.
Listen, people, it's getting worse before it's getting better. Let's save it for later. Ron, what do we have queued up for the Patreon for those people who are sitting there right now saying, I've got 21 minutes to go to patreon.com/Ron and Brian podcast. Right there, you see it. Click the link, goes right to our website. There you will see in the upper right-hand corner a link to our Patreon. Become a patron. Help support the show. The money that you will be giving us on a monthly basis, we put back into the show. It helps pay for everything you're looking at. Ron, what do we got lined up?
Just a few of the stories coming up after dark. We're going to find out why using a chastity cage that's connected to the internet might not be the best idea. Brian has learned how to properly pronounce the word thruple. We're going to talk about a thruple of a troll, a fairy, and a leprechaun. We got a guy who grew psychedelic mushrooms inside of his body, which turned out about as well as you expect it would.
Probably not.
And, you know, just some great stuff about how you can figure out if your partner is cheating on you during COVID. Just some real up with people.
Now, would one of those examples be when your partner says, hey, I have to go to State College, Pennsylvania for a business trip? Like, could that be kind of like a...
Are you, you appear to be besmirching my reputation, and that will...
Oh, I'm smirching. I'm not besmirching. I am all about the smirch.
And I do also want to talk about this. Fascinated me. There was a story in the New York Times this week about literal millionaires who are locked out of their Bitcoin futures because of lost passwords.
Ooh, yes. Save that for After Dark. I want to laugh. I want to laugh at the wealthy losing money.
And the funny thing is they're really not wealthy. They are wealthy because they have this Bitcoin, but they can't access it. Like, these are people that have gotten this Bitcoin and should be millionaires or even billionaires. And not so much.
But keep in mind, I got Bitcoin earlier this year, went to the doctor, got some penicillin, and it's all gone. I mean, there's absolutely, you know, like, there's no remnants of it. Clean bill of health.
A little confused, but that's all right. We'll get it straightened out. So once again, thank you, everybody, for joining us on the podcast. For you Patreon subscribers, we look forward to seeing you after dark in just about 18 minutes. Again, if you want to become a Patreon subscriber, go to RonandBrianPodcast.com. If you want some merch, like the hat Brian just popped on, go to RonandBrianPodcast.com. Free shipping for items purchased on the website between now and Saturday. Otherwise, listen to us wherever you get fine quality podcasts. Rate and review us. Share us with your friend. We probably got other surprises coming up soon. We got some. We might have an app coming. We're looking into that, and we'll let you
and
guys
some know. Exciting guests and in some exciting guests. We've Hopefully got several lined guests. Up over the next couple weeks and months. We had some guests last year. Some worked out very well. Some guests did not work out very well. And Brian has learned how to handle when they don't go well a little bit better than he did in the moment.
All right. Sounds good. Anything else for the fans this week, Brian?
No, I appreciate everybody that just spent the last hour and 20 minutes with us. It makes me feel a little bit better. I enjoy the community that we have grown, and look forward to it continuing to grow.
All right. Thanks for tuning
in. I'm also looking forward to seeing how many light changes can happen without you even moving. Like, is your hotel room not haunted? Like, what is going on there?
Clearly, out of nowhere. Listen, if we can be perfectly transparent, Brian bought himself a ring light, which is why he looks so well lit. Clearly, I need to purchase something for when I'm traveling. I'll be back in the Ron and Brian studios next week, so you'll see a very familiar whiteboard and better lighting. But in the meantime, thanks for joining us, and we will be back next week.